Say it louder for the people in the back.
Use your CPA. That's what they're there for.
Don't just do it without talking to them first.
Your tax advisor is there to advise you. So if you have this great, bright idea, run it by them, because it might not be, when you put it on paper, it might not be the biggest, brightest idea you've ever had. It might not actually work.
CPA After Dark.
What's going on, guys? And welcome back to CPA After Dark. I'm your host, Kristen, and I am with my beautiful CPA and co-host, Marit.
Hi, everybody.
We have a good one for you today. We are talking about, it's like a TikTok favorite, the Augusta Rule. And we're going to get into what that actually means. But it is definitely a very, very popular tax strategy that I think everybody's talking about. I see it everywhere.
Yeah. And when you see it everywhere, as the business owner, do you know, like, what are the basics that you know about the Augusta Rule, coming from someone who isn't a tax professional, who we have to study it and we have to know all the ins and outs? Like, from a basic perspective, tell us what the Augusta Rule is.
So my understanding is that I can take my own personal home and rent it back to my business for, I believe it's up to 14 days. During a tax year, I know it has to be, financially, it has to be based on comps in the area. So for me personally, living in Myrtle Beach, we are a seasonal area. So it would behoove me to take advantage of it during the, spring and summer season, because that's when I'm going to get the most bang for my buck for per comps. You do have to document what you did, what was done when the property was rented to the business, which I think is a big one.
Right. And I think you got distracted talking about like what you needed to have in terms of documentation, that you didn't say that you don't have to take that income and claim it as income on your tax return.
Right.
So you're renting it to your business. Your business is deducting it as an expense because they're paying to rent your property. And then as long as you do it under 15 days or 14 days, you don't have to claim the income on your tax return.
Yeah, so really big point.
People are loving this. Yeah, they're like, okay, well, I'm going to say that I rented out my space to my business and I'm going to write it off as a business expense. $14,000, $30,000, whatever it is. And I'm going to get that as a deduction and I'm going to get it in my pocket tax free. What's the problem?
I think there can be really big problems if it's not done correctly.
Yeah. So a little bit of background on the Augusta Rule, which I think is kind of cool. And I'm sure people know this. I feel like people know this, but maybe they don't.
You know what? I didn't know where it started. And when I saw something about how it started, I was like, this was actually genius.
Yeah. How did you see it, just kind of looking into it as a business owner? You
wanted because to know Chris more. Is always strategizing and he was like, I think we really need to take advantage of this. And I was like, please don't give me anything else that I have to educate myself on. And I kept poo-pooing it. I've actually poo-pooed it for a couple years. And then I finally sat down with him and watched a video about it. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay, this makes sense. There is a legitimate background for it. There's a legitimate reason for it per government is giving you a reason for it. And it made me feel, now that I can wrap my head around it, I actually was able to configure how I could utilize this rule in my business based on, you know, what we had learned. So you definitely want to get a full story on something before you just go implement it.
Yeah. So the story, I was thinking about how you're like, I wrapped my head around it and I liked it, because as a tax professional, I don't love it. And I know a lot of the people in the industry don't really love it.
Respect
and I feel like
that.
It's really clickbaity, and like, it's because it's like kind of makes the IRS mad. I mean, they don't, if you're going to take it, again, it's just like with everything, you really, I'm not going to say don't ever take it. It's like, I'm willing to discuss it. I'm willing to go through it, but I think you just have to really decide if it's worth it. So the background started with the Masters, the Golf Masters in Augusta, Georgia. Gets really busy during the Masters, but it's short. It's however long, a week or two. So people would rent out their homes to people that would fly into Augusta, Georgia. And the IRS was just like, eh, we don't care. Like, this is such a short thing and you're not in the business of actually renting it. We're not going to like make you go through all these hoops of like claiming it as a rental and doing all this stuff. Just don't claim it. But you also can't take expenses. So if someone were to be in your home for like, say you live in a town where it's like the Super Bowl and you're like, I'm going to rent out my house for 5 days for people in the Super Bowl. And then they party and they break your windows and they like totally mess up your stuff. You also can't take a deduction, right? Or, you know, you can't write off any expenses for fixing any of the damage.
Right. Because you do not have a rental business in this case.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't have to claim the income, but you also can't take the expenses. But the thing is that I think one of the very first things that you have to do if you're going to take this, and it's kind of a double-edged sword, is you have to put it on your tax return. You still have to claim it on your tax return so the IRS sees the number, and then you take it off of your taxable income and you cite Section 280A, and you say, I'm citing Section 280A, the August rule. I'm not going to include this in my taxable income. So right away, you're alerting them, and hey, I did this.
You have to 1099 yourself.
You do. You're right. You do have to 1099 yourself. You want to get a lease agreement. You know, you mentioned comps in the area, but I've actually read court cases where just getting a comp, some comps in the area wasn't enough. And they actually wanted the people to get a qualified appraisal of the space. And then also rates. So there was this court case with these like doctors, and they, I think it was some Planet Fitnesses they owned, and they were kind of spread out throughout the valley. So they were like, we have to talk about our Planet Fitnesses all the time, and we're always at work. So instead of meeting at this place, we're just going to meet at each other's house once a month to talk about our business, right? And so they got comparables, but they didn't get an appraisal. So when it was in court, they were talking about how they didn't have an appraisal. And then also they hadn't, I think it started at $3,000 per month, but then it got exponentially higher. Okay. So over the course of a few years, they took like $100,000 between the four of them. And they, one of the things they said in the court case was that they didn't get the rate. So like, okay, well, you could rent the same place for a half of a day, or like, did you need this much space? So it was like the usable space. Okay. It's like, okay, this is your common area that you took the space for, but how many space, how much space do you really need for four people? So they took down the space allotment.
Okay.
Then they took down the rate. Okay, well, but you were only there for an hour to discuss. And we've seen, you know, other places, meeting halls, or you could get a meeting room because you don't need a whole hall because there's only four of you. And for a half a day, it's X amount.
Right.
It's a couple $100s and you're over here trying to take $3,000 for 2 hours.
Well, that goes back to like all the other, you know, it has to be reasonable and necessary. Obviously, their situation that was unreasonable and unnecessary.
Right. Well, I mean, they let them keep some of it. So they didn't take away everything.
Okay.
They were like, we, you know, but they let them keep some. But the thing is that by the end of it, they were only able to keep, oh man, I can't quote the numbers, but it was like, I think it ended up being like an actual $6,000 in taxes or something.
Probably what like was the a amount reasonable of headache
that they went through.
Comp. They probably used like something that was more reasonable.
Uh-huh. And they had written documentation only for a few meetings. So again, I mean, they kind of fell off, I guess, when you look at it that way. Like, they started by taking a reasonable amount. Mm-hmm. They started just doing it once a month. They had some written documentation, but over the time, that got less and less. So they had people testifying, and the testimonies of what actually happened during the meetings were inconsistent. One person would sit, like, no one really remembered, and there wasn't. So you want to have, so we can back up. So you want to have comparables, possibly an appraisal, rates, how much would it cost for the day, what's actual a reasonable amount of space. So once you can get all that together, then the next thing you're going to want to do is create an agreement, like you. Mm-hmm. So Kristen, not the business owner, Kristen, the renter, is going to create a rental agreement for her home to your business. And you want to have that, you know, you're treating this as a real legit, we're renting out the meeting space. So you have that rental agreement, and then you are going to invoice your business, and then your business is going to pay you and like you said, issue a 1099, right? So that's how that works. Yeah, pay the expense, document it. Like we said, you're going to document what you're doing during your meeting.
Yep, on both sides. Yep.
So I've had clients really at the end of the year, and they're like, I want to use the Augusta rule. I want to rent out my business. I'm like, well, it's too late. Like the things, I'm willing to entertain it. If you really think that you've got it, you can do it. Let's talk about it. But there's some time you got to put into this in order to do all the things that we just discussed. You can't like see it on TikTok at the end of the year and be like, yep, I'm going to take that. That's it. We're doing it. Right.
Yep. I mean, we just talked about it too. I mean, Chris was like, I want to use it. And I was like, well, last year we didn't, so we can't. This year, I believe that we will be able to legitimately use it. And CPA and business owner, we're going to sit down and we're going to discuss it, because that's what you do. You don't just do something without discussing it with your CPA. So guys, remember that.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
Use your CPA. That's what they're
there
for. Don't
just do it without talking to them first.
Your tax advisor is there to advise you. So if you have this great, bright idea, run it by them, because it might not be, when you put it on paper, it might not be the biggest, brightest idea you've ever had. It might not actually work. So like I know, like I said earlier, me being in Myrtle Beach, doing this during, you know, prime season is going to actually give me a little bit more money than if I did this in, say, November. It's kind of crummy in November.
I don't hate it.
So yeah, it makes more sense. So use your brain cells, but use your tax advisor. Super important.
Well, yeah, because I think the important thing is like the code only has so much in terms of specifics. So we have the code, the IRS code. Then you have the Treasury regulations, which is where they take certain situations and they'll go into more detail about what's allowed or what's not. And then we go into court cases. And after that, it becomes, what is your level of risk? What's your risk tolerant, like tolerance? Your tax advisor is not there to be your auditor, but they do read the court. I mean, if you have a good one, and most of us, we love a good court case, and we know about the regs and we know about the code, and that's our thing. And so we can tell you all of these things before the fact, you know, okay, you're really hell bent on doing this. Make sure you get all of the things that you need. We need that invoice. We need that rental agreement. We need that documentation. Another thing they say is to try to do it with clients instead of potential clients. It's, you know, like anything you can do to really show that this is like for your business, to help you make more money on your business side as the renter. Right. You know, you're still renting a space for a meeting or for whatever your event is. So you want to make sure your event or your meeting is like as legitimate as possible to prove that, hey, I'm doing this for the full purpose of like it being a business thing to further the money that I'm making. Because the more money you make, the more they want to tax. So yeah, they're happy with that.
And
yeah, you want to talk to, want to get the plan.
And on that, like you have clients coming in. Hopefully they're actual clients, not potential clients. Like you said, this way then there's no red flags, but have them sign in. There's no reason why they shouldn't be signing in. Sign in like, I was here, you know, this is the date. You could put on the log like that they were here for, you know, X. And this way then you're covered. It's them signing in that they were at your house for whatever the event is that you're running, and it's documented for them.
Yeah. And I would say, as for my tax professionals out there, I know I've had clients in the past that kind of want to steamroll me and just say, I'm doing it, I'm taking this. And it's like, you want to stand your ground in terms of what you feel is ethical, because you can also have on your end negligence penalties. Like as preparers, you know, although we're not auditors, we also need to kind of say, okay, do we think our client has a good basis for this? Are we willing to have our hands in this return and in this strategy? Or not, because again, with TikTok and everything, they make it seem so easy and clients just get so fired up about it. But if they're not willing, like Kristen says, to even have that log, to document, to do the things that you know they need to do, and then you know that it's getting riskier by the minute, that's where you kind of need to assess on your side, do I want to be a part of this or not?
Yeah, and if you're not willing to do all the things that you need to do, like log and track everything and what have you, remember, if you get triggered for an audit for the Augusta rule and you didn't dot your I's and cross your T's on that, they're probably going to dig through your entire return. So if you are not being clean on one aspect, you probably weren't diligent everywhere else. I hope you were. But you just triggered an audit. So if your accountant is saying,
you're right,
this is probably not going to fly, maybe we rethink it.
Is the juice worth the squeeze?
Amen.
You're so right about that. I've actually, and I don't know for sure, but that is something that we have talked about in the tax practitioner circle. The fact that they see it and it's kind of like you're poking at the hornet's nest. Like they'll see it on your return because it has to go on there. And they're like the Augusta rule. And you're right. Mm-hmm. If you can't show from the jump that it's legit and you've done everything and you're being respectful of it. Oh, you get the right auditor and they'll just start really digging into everything. I mean, is it worth it for?
Yeah.
And really, again, remember, it's not a dollar for dollar deduction. So sure, you might be taking a $14,000 expense, but what does that really translate into when you multiply it against your tax bracket? It's probably might not be worth it.
Right.
It's up to you. But think about that, too.
But even I know you can still file a 1099. There's a late filing penalty and it's minimal right now because it's early in the year. It may $60, $120. It's small. And for somebody to say, I just talked about this with a friend too. For somebody to say, okay, it's February. Maybe I should have filed a 1099 and done and worked on the Augusta rule. Let me do it now. In my head, it says, my brain is saying, you're going to trigger something because you should have known that you needed to file a 1099 by January 31st. So now that it is the end of February and now you're like, oh, the light bulb went off. I should take advantage of the Augusta rule for last year. My tax brain is saying you're going to trigger something. There's going to be a flag that goes off because you should have already filed this. You should have already done your 1099 and I think you're triggering something. So in my opinion, you keep your mouth closed and you do it next year. If you can legitimately do it, of course. But I don't like the idea of setting off any kind of flag unnecessarily. Even though the tax code says, like, yes, you could file a 1099 late. If you should have given it to a cleaning lady, totally different. This is one of those things I believe in my brain that would trigger an audit.
Yeah, I think it takes a little bit too much preparation to retroactively go back and try to recreate, you know, get the appraisals or the comparables, get the lease agreement, do the invoice, redocument everything that you talked about. I mean, I guess you could, but I feel like if you had already been doing those things, you would have some of it in place. I don't know.
I think it's messy.
I agree. It's messy. It's messy.
Next year.
And this is one that, I mean, you can look up articles all over the place of people doing it wrong and just it doesn't turn out well. So if you're gonna do it, we're early into the year. You have plenty of time to go over your strategy. And if you think you can do it, like Kristen said, then talk to your practitioner, get their take on it and move forward from there rather than just trying to squeeze it in to get an extra deduction at the end of the year.
So guys, let us know, do you think the juice is worth the squeeze on the Augusta rule?
I want to know, too. I want to know everybody's thoughts on this. And I feel like they're not going to like what I had to say, but I don't care. Let me know. Let me know what
comment below. Let us know what you think. And make sure you hit the subscribe button and we will give you more tips, tricks and tax strategies next time.